Yesterday was, of course, St. Bridget's Day, and happy St. Bridget's Day to you all. But your ancestors would have known it as Imbolc. And in Celtic countries like Ireland and Scotland, there were some who still celebrate it as such. So what is Imbolc, and what has it got to do with St. Bridget? It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty, and hopefully most of you are still enjoying a day off in honour of St. Bridget. And God knows, after a long, dark January, we all needed it. But how much do we know about Bridget? Was she a pagan goddess or a Christian saint? Is she sort of both? Well, long before it was Bridget's Day, the 1st of February was called Imbolc. So what is Imbolc? And where does the saint come into the story? Well, joining me to discuss this is Kelly Fitzgerald from the School of Irish, Celtic Studies and Folklore in UCD. Kelly, you're very welcome to News Talk Daily. So let's start, I suppose, with Imbolc. What does that actually mean, and what is the origins of it?
Okay, so when we think of Imbolc, we are actually looking at a time in the year. And I suppose because in Irish, that term hasn't stayed for the month of February. You know, when we think of the term in Irish for February, it is kind of taking in the migrated into a calendar. But if we think of the 1st of May, Beltane, the 1st of August, Lunasa, the 1st of November, Samhain, those are all the quarter days. So this is the only quarter day in the kind of Celtic Irish calendar that hasn't kept it. So perhaps that's why it's kept its kind of mystery around what it is. But it's a really important time of the year. It's the beginning of the year. And the term Imbolc comes from mligid, which would be modern Irish bligid, to milk. So it's that time of the year when we're looking at the calving season, we're dealing with the kind of animal husbandry on the farms, and that is the importance of the beginning of spring.
Right. Okay, so that's
Pull it back, unpack it a bit here.
Let's go back a couple of steps here. So who developed this idea?
Well, I mean, this is in the mists of time, right? Again, so we really see how in the earliest times, the importance of the calendar, of the seasons and of the calendar, and not so much kind of what the equinox is happening or the solstices, which is out of our control. The quarter days are really important because it really tells people who are, you know, an agricultural-based community, what they should be concentrating on within the land and how they work with the land.
So we have no sense really about how far back this can go. Are we talking medieval Ireland, way before that?
Well, see, this is it, because of course, in Ireland, medieval Ireland is where literature is introduced, right? So you also have, in the medieval period, you have people writing about the past. But again, it's a really difficult one to figure out. And I suppose that's why this keeps it such an people are still so interested in all of this. And people want the black and white answers. And it's so much more, a little bit more nuanced than that, and a little bit more difficult to really understand what's happening. But we do see that it is definitely marked a really important time of the year. And we do see that it is the one point in the quarter days calendar where the Christian identity was put right on top of it in a way the others didn't have that happen to. So is that, why is that happening?
Okay, so we don't have a saint that we associate with Lunasa. We don't have a saint that we associate with Samhain.
Interestingly, when you say that, see, I don't want to complicate things now, Ciara.
No, go for actually, it. We've got 20 minutes here. That's what we love about podcasts.
Okay.
Deep dives.
So actually, Lunasa, which is the end of July, beginning of August, it's the beginning of the harvest season. That's a time when a lot of patterns around St. Patrick's Wells would have been happening. So there is a connection with Patrick with Lunasa, but not to the same extent as what has happened with Bridget's Day with the 1st of February. So it's a really interesting time. And then, of course, St. Bridget is such a wonderful saint. I mean, again, it's really interesting. We see kind of the revival of her now with it being an official bank holiday. So much of perhaps what interested her to people in the earliest times of this island to where we are now and what we can take from her.
Where does Imbolc then fit into the Celtic Wheel of the Year? And can you explain that idea for us?
Yes. So when we think of it, this Wheel of the Year, we're really focusing, I'll focus on the quarter days. So the year is broken up into the four parts. And the 1st of February is the very first one. And that's the beginning of spring and traditionally seen as the beginning of spring here in Ireland. Now, the first half of the year, from the 1st of February and the 1st of May, we deal with animal husbandry. So that's when you're really focused on the calving season. That's when you're really making sure, so of course, milking and preparing milk to make butter or whatever kinds of economy that you're focused on in the farm. So that's the first year. So 1st of February, Imbolc, milking, all of that. This 1st of May, Beltane, again, really important around the health of your cattle and protections around the safety of your cattle in that regard. And really supernatural elements around the 1st of May that you don't really get with the 1st of February.
What are they?
Oh, again, Samhain and May Day are on equal parts of the circle. And that is, in some ways, I know Halloween gets all the supernatural stuff, but in Irish tradition, the kind of witches stealing your milk profit, in Irish tradition, that would be happening on the 1st of May. So there's a really, May Day, if you go out and take the morning dew and put on your face, you're going to be a beautiful woman.
1st of May, here I come.
I know, look at it.
Set the alarm half an hour earlier.
And again, but of course, that would be absolutely discouraged. Anyone who is doing anything, that would not be, condoned. So that's the first half of the year. Then we come into the summer, and we're preparing for the harvest in the 1st of August. And I suppose that's really important because July was a really hard time, this sense of hungry July, waiting for the new harvest to come in. And I think when there's really wonderful things to think about the quarter days, and we think of all the magic and we think of all of that. But of course, this is really important when you're so connected to the land and your whole existence is dependent on what you're able to harvest. So 1st of August, Lunasa from Lu, an amazing figure of a man. And then we go and his festival. And then we end the year and we think of the ending of the year and we're going into the darkness at Iahawin, at Samhain, at the 1st of November. And so that is the full year.
Okay, so it's sort of the first half of the year as they saw it, which is starting now in the 1st of February, is about really the animals, and the second half of the year is more about the harvest, more about the crops. I would have associated this time of year with fertility.
Well, exactly, and that's Bridget. Bridget, and again, it's really interesting, that kind of female side of things, of what Bridget gives us. So it's all around us. You know, when we think of the calving season, birth, the lambing season, all of that is coming together. And then it's a kind of an interesting time because when you do think of Christianity, once Lent kicks in, which is soon enough, no one's getting married. Lent is all about abstaining. So it's kind of interesting. I know we see how Christianity kind of really fits into the calendar, but then there's other aspects to it. Like on the one hand, here we are thinking about the fertility, thinking about all of that. And then the Christian side, Not too far off, that's what's happening. But I don't know, but that's a little bit different. But no, definitely, Bridget is there. The way Bridget protects you, the Bridget's cross, the Bratbija, the Crispija, the Bijog, the kind of doll-like images that are made of Bridget, all of that is there to protect you and your family and to, again, the Bratbija, her mantle that you lay out and she comes over and blesses it in the evening. If you have a headache, that'll help you with that. So she is she's good to have in the arsenal.
She's our kind of gal, isn't she?
She is.
I mean, Imbolc is obviously closely linked to Bridget, Which Bridget are we talking about, though? See, is it Bridget the goddess, the pre-Christian, or the pagan goddess, or is it the Christian saint Bridget? Is there multiple Bridgets?
There's multiple Bridgets. And I think that's a difficult one as well. I mean, these are the questions, which I think is wonderful because it keeps us talking about her and it keeps us trying to think about her. But we also then have to think of Bridget. Bridget is, here we are. She is all of, how do we describe her? Obviously, in the early period, when hagiographies are being written, so even the folklore of her, when we think of the Vita Prima, the first life of Bridget, that is a hagiographical account written in the medieval period about Bridget.
And that's what does that mean?
That is, okay, so hagiography is the term of writings on saints, so the saints' lives. And saints' lives are so important in early Irish tradition in the medieval period. And that's where we get so many of the great stories, all the stories of Patrick, stories of Bridget, stories of Cullum Kill. Here we are thinking of all the patron saints. And this is where we're gaining our material about them and about their personality.
So was there a real historical St. Bridget, or are we dealing mainly with legend and folklore?
There's a lot of legend, there's a lot of folklore, but that BR of Bridget, in Indo-European terms, in terms of language, that's the BR from Brahmin, the priestly caste in Indian culture. It's the BR of St. Brendan, who traveled to the New World and was an amazing saint, and County Kerry still loves him so much. So we see that in some ways we're looking at language, we're looking at perhaps recognition. Were there multiple Bridgets? Was it a generic term for a girl who has kind of taken on these things? So there's a multitude of possibilities. And I suppose it's kind of interesting to explore those. But I mean, unless, you know, technology changes and we're able to time travel, I don't think we'll ever really, really know.
Okay, but we do know that a lot of what St. Bridget herself is patron of, cattle, dairy, healing, blacksmithing, that does mirror this goddess.
Yes.
Is that coincidence or was that deliberate, do you think?
I think a lot of that has to be, I mean, is it deliberate or did it just come natural? I think sometimes to us now, when we look at it, it feels really kind of, it's so obvious. Like, come on, did no one cap on? Did they not see this? But I suppose it works so naturally. And I suppose when we think of culture, I do think sometimes we think Christianity came in this really aggressive sense and people had these wonderful lives and then they had to change and have this life. Now, that, I think, has more to do with our own feelings about Christianity and perhaps our own reaction to the church and things in more recent times. But culturally, I would love to have really experienced what it would have been. And what you take from the new and what you keep from the old and what's still important. And I suppose that's why those quarter days could never really be stamped out, because they're so tied to the seasons, because they're so tied to how you're working your farm. You couldn't really say this isn't how it's going to be anymore.
Okay. St. Bridget's Cross, yeah, still being made, I imagine, in schools right across Ireland. I'm pretty sure we have one sitting above the cooker at the moment from a couple of years ago. It is that tradition that seems to live on. Why do you think it persists? And talk to me about the regional variations on the cross, which I'd never realised before.
I think this is really wonderful. I mean, Irish folklore is so vast, and I love people's interest in it. I suppose once we have an interest in it, certain things become quite dominant. I would have colleagues who would believe that when RTE, when they chose Bridget's Cross as their kind of symbol for their logo in the 1960s or 70s, that kind of made the Bridget's Cross as we see it. But there are numerous ways in which the rushes could be weaved, or the different kinds of ways. The Manx, you know, the kind of three-pronged cross that we think of, like the Manx cross, that was a Bridget's Cross in certain areas. The kind of more chevron-shaped God's Eye cross, or kind of variations of chevrons making a more crucifix image, could be a Bridget's Cross. So again, there were numerous ways that the rushes would be woven into what people would have as their kind of Bridget's Cross.
Okay, tell me about the Biddy Boys in Kerry.
Oh, the Biddy Boys. Again, this is coming from, when we think of it now, that kind of impact of fancy dress at Halloween, we kind of, in the more global sense, we just think of Halloween. But here, really from Samhain and the kind of guising around Halloween, going through to the Ramboys and the Christmas Mummers in the middle of winter, and here we are coming out. So throughout the darkness, there is that type of brevity, and people really take it upon themselves to bring that kind of joy of fancy dress. And so you have the straw hats that you would think of, again, with the Ramboys coming through. And down in Kerry, they've kind of had this kind of white, the kind of white shirt and the white trousers and then the straw fixtures, and they're just that kind of, again, rambling from house to house, carrying the music and song.
And Biddy, obviously, being sort of shorthand for Bridget.
Of course. Biddy is shorthand for Bridget. Yes, yes.
There has been this revival in recent years, especially since the bank holiday was introduced. Why do you think people are really reconnecting with Bridget now? And it's clearly something, as I sit across from you here in the studio, that you are delighted about.
It's really fantastic. I actually saw recently that people are worried that, like, Bridget's Day is getting so much attention. Poor St. Patrick is now being put into the corner. I would argue he should have been put in the corner a long time ago, but that's another story. But here we have it. And traditions only exist if they have a relevance, you know, so the state can give us this bank holiday that gives us time. And it's really give us time to reflect what's important. It's really interesting that this holiday has come out after going through COVID, going through what for most of us, or many of us, it's the most intense time in our lives that we ever experienced. And here we have this day. And it's not like we have to make up anything new. We can draw on so much within tradition in terms of looking after each other, protecting each other, celebrating. And it just happens to be very kind of female-centric.
Well, has that been a reframing of this a little bit?
Perhaps. I mean, I don't... It's
Grand. If that's what it takes, ladies.
If that's what it takes. I know, in tradition, you know, the eldest daughter of a house would have acted as Bridget, and there would have been a whole, perhaps, ritual within the home of entering her in and her coming in with the light. Again, the goddess of Bridget, we think of fire, connected to the saint, similar to Saint Lucia in the Scandinavian countries, with the kind of candled headdress that she's wearing. So it's really complicated, but it's really wonderful.
Kelly Fitzgerald, is there a spare seat in your lecture hall out in UCD? Because I think I'd happily go out for a couple of days and just sit and listen to you, if that's all right.
Anytime, Ciara, anytime.
We'll talk about that. Kelly Fitzgerald from the School of Irish Celtic Studies and Folklore in UCD. Thank you so much for joining us here on News Talk Daily. Well, that's it from the podcast for today. You can listen back to every episode of News Talk Daily on the Go Loud player. But for now, from me, Ciara Doherty, goodbye.